We continue our learning We are in Moed Katan, Perek Aleph, Mishnu Yud. Osin ma kelagag v'lamir peses ma sehedyot avalo ma seuman. You have a case where a person needs to make a maka. That's the railing that you need for a roof or a mirpeses. What's a mirpeses? We usually translate mirpeses as a balcony, as a porch. But specifically in the days of the Mishnah, Bar Tanur tells you what a mirpeses is. Hiluch shelifnei aliyah. It was a path that was above or in front of the upper story. Shebnei aliyah holchinbo. They would walk on that path, on that balcony. V'yordim derech sulam lechatzer. And they would go down from that second floor, down a ladder, down the stairs, down into the courtyard. So if we need to make a maka, either for the gag or the merpeses, that can be done on Chol HaMoed, but only as the masa hedyot, only in an ordinary way, in an unskilled manner. And the reason for that is there's no need. Of course, this is a halacha lo sosim damim beveisecha. We have an obligation of the lotase to protect these high areas of our homes, as well as an assay of to build a sisema kele gagecha, but this can be accomplished on Chol HaMoed without a masa uman at all. It doesn't have to be done in a professional way. And the Gemara gives two possibilities of what you're doing. The Gemara in Bava Basra has this as well, of what's called hutza v'dafna, which is reeds and rushes. So we have certain branches that are used for a tree, and those can protect the area and accomplish the goal of a maka for the gag or the merpeses. So there's no need to do something in a very fancy way, in a very skilled way or professional way. And or there's a possibility to construct just piling up stones one on top of the other without cementing them together if the stones are strong enough. So it's also going to serve as a proper protection, and therefore masa uman is not allowed. Now, there is an opinion that says that the type of roof or merpeses we're speaking about is only being used for storage, where people from the public don't have access to it. So putting up a railing is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, is not really halachically required because people aren't going there. It's a precaution, or maybe for privacy we want to put up a maakeh. But if there were, according to this opinion, if the Mishnah were referring to a real gag and merpeses where people have access to, where there is a mitzvah from the Torah of asis maakeh l'gagecha, as we were describing before, so protecting people from danger is certainly not any less important than, let's say, preparing food, which we know we're allowed to do on Yontif itself, and certainly on a Chol HaMoed. So therefore, to do something in a professional manner, if it's to protect people, certainly would be allowed. Different ways to understand the first halacha in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, Shafin es hasedakin, you're permitted to smooth out any cracks, and these cracks, which have cracks in the roof, rain can seep in, it's going to cause damage, so we have to be after this clay. If you know some of the clay cracked off, do you want to put new clay? That's okay. Umagilin osan ba magila bayaru varegel, and you can use them, can roll them with a magila means a roller. And we'll have to explain what that means, because then the Mishnah says bayaru varegel, using your hand or your foot. And the Gemara asks the question, If it began the last amud of this perek, if you're allowed to use a roller, you certainly are able to use your hand or your regel. I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that. Am I doing this in a skilled way or an unskilled way? And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that no, magilin osam, magila means you're allowed to roll these areas that have put the plaster on that you need and smooth the clay out with your foot or with your hand or your foot, as if it's you're using a roller. Meaning, even if you're the clay or the plaster being smoothed out by your hand or your foot gives you the same results, it's allowed. But using a magila, the Gemara concludes, is not allowed. Avalo b'mach letzayim. And you're not allowed to use a trowel. So here the Mishnah is assuming we come to the conclusion, as the Gemara did, using a roller is not allowed. So a trowel is not allowed as well. When you plaster roofs, you use the roller at the beginning to flatten out the plaster or the clay. And then the trowel was used afterwards, whatever was not done. So therefore, neither of these things should be used. There is another explanation that the Magila is the trowel, is not the roller. And that was the usual tool that was used. So the Mishnah is saying that there was another tool, this machlitzayim, which was a type of hammer. And that would press down the plaster. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that not only can you use the magila, the roller, you can't even, or the trowel rather, you can't even use this hammer, which seems to be, which is certainly not the tool that was typically used. We can't do that either. Now, why are we so strict regarding tools when it comes to the roof? So the answer is, according to some Rishonim, it's because we're not, it's not like it's raining and there's a leak. It may rain. So, and if it doesn't rain, so what? You don't have to fix this at all. Had it been raining and your roof is leaking, so then that's a davar oven. Then this would be allowed without a problem. I could do this in a professional way. And others say that since the rain is going to cause the people in the house, they're going to be uncomfortable because of it, that's considered a tzorach hamoed, and it can be done in a professional way. So whether we say it's a davar oven or a tzorach hamoed, either way, that would be reason why where we would allow fixing the roof, even in a professional way. In the case of the Mishnah, where it's not raining, it's not uncomfortable, so therefore, to do it, we'd have to do it in with some type of shinui, some type of modification. Then the Mishnah says, Hatsir, which is the hinge of a door, Vatsinor, a socket which the hinge is inserted to. Now, Vahakora, or a beam that's supporting the house. And that's above the door. V'hamanu, v'hamafteach, shenishper, or a lock, or a key. Any of these things, if they broke on the yontif, on chol hamoed, so the Mishnah says, misaknon ba'moed. This is something that is also davar oved. People can get into the house if you don't fix the lock. So this is something that's needed. But you can't say before the moed, you know what? I'm going to have a little bit more free time in chol hamoed. I'm busy now. I'm going to push this off to chol hamoed. That is not allowed. The chol kevashim, foods that are usually pickled in vinegar or salt, vegetables, let's say, so yachol lechol mehen ba'moed. If they're foods that can be pickled quickly enough and they'll be ready to use for the moed itself, then kovshon, you're allowed to pickle them. That's considered necessary for the moed. That activity would be permitted. We begin the second parak beis, Mishnah Aleph. By way of introduction, we should be aware of the fact that when it comes to avelus, which we'll discuss later in the Masecht as well. So avelus, there is an isra malacha, what for an avel. To what extent is there an isra for malacha? So that's a machlokas amoraim. Some claim that all malacha is prohibited for an avel, even malacha that we would allow, let's say, on chol hamoed, for certain people, would not be allowed for an avel to do. And others disagree. Some say whatever's allowed on chol hamoed would be allowed for an avel as well, and that plays itself out in understanding this Mishnah. Misha hafach es zeisav ve'ero avel al ones. You have a case where someone is turning over his olives, part in producing oil, is putting the olives in a vat, and you want them to soften, and after a certain amount of time, you turn them over to finish that softening process. So once they're turned over, so then it's a short time between that and when they're pressed. And if you wait too long between the time after they're very soft, you turn them over and press them so they can get ruined. So here we have a case, hafach hazesav, so it's time to press the olives very soon, but the ero evel, or ones, he became an avel. And or there's some other type of ones, so he's now, we have to worry that, although on the one hand he can't do malacha now, he's an avel, on the other hand it's going to be a possible davar oven. So what are we supposed to do? So different ways to understand the Mishnah based on our introduction. According to some, the Mishnah is talking about a case of who's a person who's an avel, and it's unrelated to chol hamoed at all. The Mishnah is talking about a case of someone who became an avel any time during the year, and he has these olives in the vat, and they're going to rot unless he allows the beginning of the process of the pressing. So according to that, this is basically understanding that there is understanding the Mishnah in a way where we allow an avel to do certain activities, just like we allow people on chol hamoed. However, others disagree, which is the halacha that we don't allow an avel to do any malacha on as we can do on chol hamoed. So the case of the Mishnah must be where the person, the relative, passed away right before the moed. So he can't do any malacha as an avel. So he had to wait to press it on Chol HaMoed. Now that's going to be a davar aved. So therefore, if we don't let him do it on Chol HaMoed. So an ones could be anything where we have circumstances beyond his control. It wasn't able to finish the process. Could be the person forgot that the chag was coming. They thought maybe the olives wouldn't spoil. Or another case, oh shehit uhu poalim. You have workers. You assume that they were going to come in and complete the job before the chag, and they did not. So here, the Mishnah tells you what is permitted to be done here. Toein kora rishona. So Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to place a heavy beam on top of the olives. And this way the oil is going to begin to flow. That's the first step. After some time, you lift it up and then you drop the beam down again. But the second time you place it down, that just increases the flow, which is not allowed because the olives are not going to spoil anymore once the process has begun. So therefore, Toein Kora Rishona, as we said, this is a davar aved and we allow this. Umani, something that, according, was not allowed for the avel and therefore we allowed on a Chol HaMoed. According to one opinion, or according to others, no, we allow this for an avil as well. Any time of the year, we would allow him to do this because understanding that an avil can do malacha as people can do on Chol HaMoed. So different ways to understand the Mishnah. Umani chalachar amoed divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He can process the olives to prevent them becoming spoiled. That's it. Can't complete the process. The second pressing is not necessarily. That's not a davar, and therefore that would not be permitted. Now, if that's true, so the way we're understanding that the first, I can press it one time, so then, so that's it. That's going to avoid the davar aved, and and that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Others claim that there is going to be a little bit of spoiling of the oil if you don't place the place the korah down a second time, but they're minimal. And Rabbi Yehuda says this is not going to be allowed. Why? Because something that is only going to be if I even work that's allowed based on davar aved could only be done with the shinui. But there's no way to do this this shinui at least for the second time. I would have to do with the shinui. There's no way to place a beam down a second time with the shinui, and therefore we can only do it one time, but the second minor davar aved would have to be done with the shinui, and since he can't, so therefore he can't do it a second time. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zolef Vegomer Veguf Kedaka. Rabbi Yossi is more leans, and he says you can complete the process. All steps you need to draw out all the oil is allowed, and you can seal the barrels. That's to prevent them from spilling. They move around, this way protects them from any insects, let's say, coming inside. So this can be done completely kedarko. Rabbi Yossi believes, I can do something that's a davar aved without doing with any shinui at all. Rabbi Yehuda allowed that first pressing, but the second, but to complete the process where there may be a little bit of a davar aved, that he would not allow without a shinui, and there's no way to do a shinui. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, there's no shinui needed at all for davar aved, and therefore this can be done in the regular way as he says, Zolef, Vegomer, Veguf, Kidarko, complete the process, seal the barrels in the usual way.